This is Audible.
Illyrium by Darius Hinks. Performed by Penelope Rawlins, Andrew Wincott, Barnaby Edwards, and Jonathan Keeble.
Now, as stranded as I am, we can burn together.
Brother Sartum, can you hear me? This is Sergeant Amon.
Sergeant, I hear you.
Send assistance, whoever is nearest. I am in Chamberlain Newton's private quarters. There is damage to the superstructure and a Promethean tank has ruptured. There are fires from here right back up to Observation Deck Tapsis. I could make it back through the fire, but the Chamberlain would not survive. This way, Mom. Quickly. Let me help you. What lies through this access hatch, Mom?
The storeroom. Then the hull of the ship. Then the void. There's no way out.
It will have to do. I cannot get you back any other way.
Sartum, we have made it into the Chamberlain's storage chamber. The hatch will hold back the flames for a while, but the room is not airtight. The smoke is already getting in here. We do not have long.
Help is on the way, Sergeant. Is the Chamberlain... will she be...
The Chamberlain will be fine, Sartum, if you get a fire team and Medicaid staff down here immediately.
Of course, Sergeant, but there is something you should know. There have been more boarding actions. Embarkation deck Apta has been taken by the traitors, and they are heading towards the engineering decks. We will be with you as fast as we can, but we may run into delays.
Has Lord Gilliman been informed?
He has. He is directing the defense from the Ventum orbital, and his transport is being readied as we speak. He will be back here within the hour. Sergeant, there is something else. Some of the boarding parties appear to be heading your way. To the Chamberlain's quarters.
Are you sure?
And it's not just that. I have word from the bridge that their void ships are targeting the void shields along the starboard prow, exactly where you are located. It's almost as though...
I understand. Just make sure you get here before anybody else does, Sartum.
Understood, Sergeant.
Keep low, Mom. The fumes are rising fast.
Your men are unlikely to reach us, Sergeant. This isn't the first time traitors have come hunting for me. But I think they overestimate my importance to Gilliman. Besides, my heart was on the way out before this smoke started filling my lungs. I doubt I'll live long enough to meet them.
My men will be here very soon.
You should leave, Sergeant. You're a good man, and Lord Gilliman can ill afford to lose you on account of a tired old woman who was unlikely to survive the next warp jump. There was a time when they could have used me as a weapon against him, but not now.
My men will be here soon, Mom. Keep low and try to conserve your strength. Do not alarm yourself.
I am not alarmed, Sergeant. Irritated, perhaps, but not alarmed. The thought of my death does not trouble me. Yours, however, would be a shameful waste of resources.
Your bravery is well known, Mom. But...
Bravery? I'm just lucky. I have achieved my purpose in life. Not many people live long enough to say that. And I have the wit to know that there's no dreadful afterlife waiting on the other side of these flames.
Brother Sartum, what is your position now? Brother Sartum, state your position. Damn it. Something has jammed the signal. Mom, watch yourself with that crate. What are you doing?
Would you look at all this rubbish? I never thought of myself as a hoarder.
You must keep down, Chamberlain. The smoke is getting thicker. Your lungs will last longer if you rest.
Oh, I'm not really one for resting, Sergeant.
Mom, are you not concerned for your own life?
I told you, I have achieved what I needed to. I have given the galaxy a Rabute Gilliman who can face anything the traitors throw at him. We tempered him, Connor and I. The galaxy is in safe hands.
You are not going to die in here, Chamberlain. I will find a way to stop this smoke. Brother Sartum, can you hear me?
Damn it, Sergeant! Leave me and go! Gilliman will not thank you for dying so needlessly, especially when the McCrag's honor is under attack.
I will not leave you, Chamberlain. That should hold for a while. I've dampened the fumes. Just relax until my men arrive.
Curse Gilliman! The boy has got you all thinking I'm a fragile relic. I suppose I am. See this, Sergeant?
Is it a torque?
Exactly. The torque of Arden. A relic even older than me. When I first saw it, Gilliman was barely a man. But when he revealed this torque, I realized he had already surpassed everything Connor or I could teach him. On that day, I knew that I had fulfilled my purpose. To be honest, I have just been killing time since then.
I read that you oversaw his training even after the start of the Great Crusade. I thought you mentored him even now.
Gilliman indulges me. And perhaps I sometimes still surprise him. But he is quite capable of ruling without me.
What is so significant about that talk? How did you acquire it?
I know what you're doing, Sergeant. I'm not quite senile yet. You're trying to take my mind off all this by letting me ramble on. Well, maybe it's not such a bad idea. Now I come to it, I wonder if I'm as brave as I always tell myself. I bet you've heard tales of how I stood up to an enraged Primarch, haven't you?
Conrad Curse. You told him to go to hell, is that right?
I might have done. Well, to be honest, I try not to remember. But I do know this. In that much vaunted moment of bravery, I spent most of my time under a chair praying he wouldn't kill me.
You survived.
Which is not always the same thing as being brave. Oh, perhaps I am afraid of dying. Let me tell you a story about this talk, Sergeant. And when you greet Lord Gilliman with news of my death, remind him of it. If I'm dead, you might need some way of calming him down.
I'm listening, Chamberlain.
If you're my deathbed confessor, Sergeant, I'll be honest with you. I was afraid of Rabute Gilliman when I first knew him. Even as an infant, he was clearly more than human. Connor adopted him and adored him, but as Gilliman grew, I saw a great potential for harm in him. He was physically strong, incredibly strong, in fact. But that wasn't the problem. It was his mind that troubled me. While the other children played, he read books of history and science. He pored over military treaties as if they were fairy tales. He seemed cold and machine-like. That seemed like a bad combination to me. By the time he was a teenager, Connor and I agreed that we had to test him in some way, to find out what all this power and study had made. We had to see how he responded under duress. We agreed that he was ready for his first military campaign. You will not have heard of it. It was a minor engagement compared to the legendary battles he has fought since.
The Illyrium campaign, when Gilliman crushed the wild men who rebelled against McCrack's Senate.
Damn it! Is there no corner of his life that hasn't been documented? Yes, you're right. The battle for Illyrium. There were various hill tribes in the north, and they had refused to accept any kind of alliance. The more we tried, the more desperate they became, attacking the surrounding cities and outposts, forcing us to take action. Connor ordered Gilliman to end the problem, but he never specified how. He was sure Gilliman would crush them, and so was I. But that did not allay my fears about him. So I joined the campaign and headed north with him to a mountain lake called the Cassium Drop.
I have studied the campaign, ma'am. The Cassium maneuver is still cited to this day. The hill tribes had spent centuries building defenses in the mountain passes, and only they knew the routes.
Correct. And Gilliman had no desire for a prolonged, expensive campaign, struggling for every foot of ground.
So he struck at their hidden shrine.
Exactly. Cassium Drop was surrounded by the tombs of their ancestors. They thought it well hidden, but nothing is hidden from Gilliman. His research in McCrag City's librarians had led him to the location.
And he attacked without mercy, killing the priests as well as the temple guards. It was a triumph.
It was horrific. My worst fears about Gilliman were confirmed. He was inspired, decisive, and utterly ruthless. The Wildmen wanted their independence, and they had to be brought to heel. But they were not animals. I tried to reach him as the slaughter escalated, but he was surrounded by his captains. They did not see his savagery, only his military acumen. Exactly as Gilliman predicted, the hill tribes flooded down from their eyries, desperate to save their holy site. Gilliman had learned their weakness and exploited it. They were rooted.
Then he did exactly as his father expected. He crushed them.
No, Sergeant. That may be what your military texts say, but he did not crush them. If he had, I would have returned to McCrag City more concerned than ever. But something else happened. As Gilliman led the slaughter at Cassium Drop, I realized his savagery was not as random as I thought. He allowed no one to damage the tombs, and his violence was targeted on specific individuals. Once the tribes were out in the open, he killed a murderous runt called Zulus, the chieftain of a particular tribe. But then he corralled the others in a narrow pass, forcing the different tribes into one space.
So that they could all be defeated in a single attack?
So I thought. But then I noticed that he was holding his cohorts back. Instead of pressing the next attack, he called out to the chieftains, demanding a challenger. The clever boy had studied their culture so well, he knew they would find it hard to refuse him. There were more clashes, but then, when Gilliman laid down his weapons and offered to fight unarmed, it shamed them into action, and a chieftain agreed and broke ranks.
Gilliman was unarmed.
Yes. It looked like an act of madness. And I confess, I had no idea what was happening. My plan had been to reach Connor as soon as possible, so I could tell him his adopted son was a monster. But then, as Gilliman marched out, unarmed, onto an outcrop to meet the chieftain, I wondered if he might actually be insane. His thought processes had always seemed peculiar. He had a very singular black-and-white way of seeing things. There are no shades of gray in Gilliman's world. He sees right and wrong, power and weakness, but little in between. I had known other people who thought like that, but in Gilliman, it seemed inhuman. And it meant he behaved in ways that I often found bizarre. But when he marched out to the chieftain, I wondered if I had mistaken a quirk of character for full-on lunacy. The tribesman had made no pretense at dropping his weapons. He was gripping a chain axe, and there was an auto-carbine strapped to his back. He was shaking with rage, and the wild men were howling to him to take Gilliman's head. We watched, fascinated, as Gilliman and the chieftain fought. Gilliman made no attempt to attack his opponent, but he dodged every blow so skillfully that the chieftain was soon bloodied and bruised from stumbling against the rocks. Gilliman taunted the chieftain, driving him into a frenzy.
Is that all you have? Is that all you can do?
The chieftain drew his gun, but Gilliman took it with ease and buckled the metal in his hand, hurling it from the outcrop. It became increasingly apparent that Gilliman was something more than a man. He towered over the chieftain and showed no signs of tiredness, even after repeated attacks. I could see in the chieftain's eyes that he was growing afraid. Every moment of the fight revealed more of Gilliman's inhuman power. But, to his credit, the chieftain fought on, trying to land punches and lashing out with knives as Gilliman calmly circled him.
Prove yourself, man! Show me what you're capable of!
Finally, the chief collapsed, exhausted. As Gilliman approached him, he backed away to the edge of the drop, still spitting curses. The other wild men fell quiet and lowered their weapons, bound by faith not to intervene. My heart sank as I watched Gilliman reach for a hidden weapon. It was not enough for him that the wild men were going to be defeated in that gully. He wanted to cow them utterly. He was going to execute their bravest chieftain.
Of course he was. That way the tribes would see that rebellion would not be tolerated, that defiance would be punished by death.
You've met Lord Gilliman, Sergeant. You fought at his side, and you have also seen his genius for diplomacy. Does he strike you as a savage tyrant?
No, I do not see him as a tyrant. But war sometimes demands savagery.
He kills when he must, Sergeant. But he is wise enough and noble enough to see when there is a better way. As Gilliman approached the fallen chieftain, I looked away, not willing to see his cruelty. But then the soldiers around me cried out in confusion, and I looked back up at the outcrop. At first, I could not understand what Gilliman was holding. I thought it might be a knife of some kind, curved like a small scythe. But then I realized that it was this talk. The wild men cried out in shock.
Do you see this? Do you know what it is?
The talk of Ardon.
The chieftain was stunned by the sight of the thing. And then, to compound his confusion, Gilliman held it out to him.
Take it! You are worthy. You have the courage and the strength. I see it in you.
This is not how it has been recorded. The records must be inaccurate. I was told...
You were told what? That Gilliman brought the tribes to heel? That he conquered them? Well, he did conquer them, but in a far more profound way than you mean. I was utterly wrong about him. He was not concerned only with the fastest route to power. He was and is a genius. And I'm not speaking of his tactical insights or martial prowess. I mean that he can look into men's hearts and win them, binding them utterly to his cause.
But what was so special about that piece of jewelry?
To us, it's just a piece of jewelry. To the hill tribes, it was the cornerstone of their faith. Through his studies, Gilliman had learned everything about his foe. These men were brave, and they had just cause to feel wronged. Centuries earlier, the consuls of Macragge City had stolen their ancestral badge of kingship. This simple talk that had languished, forgotten in a vault ever since, had once bound them together as a people, unified under one king. The callous actions of a consul had left them divided and bitter. This was why they were so distrustful of Connor. But here was Gilliman, an invincible giant, offering them the talk back. Offering it to the one chieftain who had been brave enough to face him in combat. It was the last thing they could have expected.
Of course. I understand. He offered the talk on the condition that they surrender and bend the knee.
You understand nothing, Sergeant Amon. You're not listening. That is exactly what a power-crazed warlord would do. He would make them kneel, and he would fill their hearts with resentment that would eat at them like a cancer. Perhaps they would fight for Macragge with their strength, but never with their hearts. Gilliman needed more than that. He still needs more than that. He needs his armies to love him and to love what he means. He needs more than slaves. He needs comrades who will die willingly at his side. So he handed this trinket to the chieftain, making the man lord of all the tribes and making him godlike in the process.
Take this and make it yours. Be more than a killer. Be a king.
He gave the talk to the chieftain and expected nothing in return.
He told the chieftain he was giving him a chance. A chance to unite the tribes under a single king and rebuild what they had lost. And he made an oath on behalf of Macragge's consuls never to take the talk from the hill tribes again, as long as they ceased their attacks on the nearby towns.
You're right, Mom. I do not understand. Are you saying that Gilliman never defeated the wild men? That the history books are wrong?
Throne, the history books are always wrong. You should know that much. You only have to look at the accounts of my encounter with Conrad Kurz. Yes, Gilliman conquered the hill tribes, but it was not achieved in a day by slaughtering half of them. Over the months and years that followed, he offered aid and friendship to the new king on our borders. The bond grew as that chieftain saw the reforms Gilliman implemented across the planet, and then the entire system. Many of them joined his armies, not as conquered slaves, but as devoted comrades. And eventually, this talk went forgotten. In the glory of the Great Crusade, the ancestors of those tribesmen learned a new creed, imperial truth, as preached by Gilliman. I rescued the talk as a reminder. I wanted to remember where Gilliman's true genius lies. Even now, old as I am, I know...
Chamberlain, move back from the smoke. Let me help you.
I talk too damn much. I can't breathe.
Lie here, Chamberlain. Rest yourself. Something has aggravated the flames. The heat is rising. Have this water. Brother Sartam, what is your position now? Brother Sartam, have you reached us? Keep your head down, Chamberlain. Someone is coming. It must be my men. The enemy have broken through the void shields. They're hitting the hull. Brother Sartam! Is that you?
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.